Very good. Just tell me where. So we just take it because you say, okay? We should do that? Right.
No, I get smart since Trump is talking about these countries have to spend 2% in arms in their country. Mm-hmm. I get smart. So he says that how we have to, we got to spend 2% of our GDP with America with arms. So what is that? You're going to get an army to buy arms from America?
So is a hunch that you have that the Ronald Reagan wanted us to spend money on arms, so we had the army at that time. That's
well,
a
you know, America president look out for people and the arms is the biggest business in America, and you know that's what they.
No problem. So that's the reason. I thank you for clarifying all of this confusion we had today. We are now fully understanding that the regiment, the Barbados Defense Force, was created to spend 2% of our GDP with arms in America. Sorry, thank you. Brass, that's good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, man. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, Mr. Lane.
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I would have just been... I'm trying to get through. And I thank the production team for the call. I really do appreciate the program and so on. Let me say that I was going to call in about the topic of abortion. I know it was an issue that you would have read on your WhatsApp just now. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is that I know that obviously there's the pro-life people and then there is the actual people who want abortions. Now, the issue here is not obviously a born baby, but a baby that obviously has some sort of life, was a zygote, and then obviously has the ability to listen and so on. We know we can play music to the baby and so on, and they can kick and so on and respond. But the key issue here is that if they're going to feel it, if they're going to live and all of that. Now, here's the thing. If you're able now to say that, because obviously the law says that, yes, in the very slimmest of circumstances, yes, a woman, because it is a woman's right, and we cannot allow obviously that right in terms of her life and the baby. So we cannot allow.
Sir, if you are on a carless phone, you gotta come closer to the base. Brass Stats, good afternoon. All right, someone sent me a story here with a Ross student held with drugs, and one of the things they're saying is people on social media saying they should be sent to prison. I can't understand people. The magistrate is trying to help, but people want him sent to jail because of who he is. Where do we start? Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey. How are you?
I am fine, thanks. And you?
I am good. You all don't right. sound like you on the line at all.
Yeah.
This don't sound like Corey Lane, however.
I know who they sound like, though, but this is Corey Lane. The voice a little rough. Dennis has had me cracking up during the break, so then my voice is gone.
It's not very mature. It's not very real mature.
The husky voice. Yes. Go ahead.
Right. However, I just called to say that I don't think. I know I might get a few lashes for it, but then I might get a few praises too. Mm-hmm. I don't think a woman necessarily need, even though God would have ordained a man and woman, I don't think a woman necessarily need a man in her life to push through. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I believe that a woman can function to a high level before having a male involved in her life. She might think or accept a male for companionship.
Mm-hmm.
But to succeed, don't necessarily need a man. You don't necessarily need a male figure in your life to succeed. I believe that women have the capability, the knowledge, the education, and everything to rise to the level without a male figure. And that's my honest belief.
Right. I think it's a personal decision. Some people may believe that they need them for that kind of companionship, and others wouldn't. Others will reckon.
No, you were talking. It was just
right. Like it was just like some people would believe they need. Like I remember back. I remember hearing and listening to people. They say, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, even coming forward, there are a lot of women who believe that they needed to be married to be someone.
Right.
So they that for me that speaks to self esteem.
Right.
So
but you see, because at that time, at that time, women were more dependable on men because women they had the opportunity to educate themselves and be educated, and they were seen as housewives raising babies and mm-hmm. taking care of the house while the man went out and work. You know, and she basically stayed at home and cooked and things like that. So she had very little self because there was no exposure.
Right. When you insert self, when you insert to succeed, that's the thing. Because there's some women who did it all on their own. So the succeed part, we take care of that. The other part is for the emotional, the for the sex, for the transportation, for whatever. I know, as I told you, I heard women say, you know, I got a minister of transport, I got a minister of finance, and I got a minister of bedroom affairs. And right. so they, that's
everybody
their thing, right? Everybody playing a role. But I don't disagree with the sentiment that there can be women out there who would say, I don't need a man for any. I just getting through in my life. The men, they got men as hermits and bachis and thing too. They for them, they've determined that they don't need a woman.
They don't need a female too.
Correct. Simple.
Because a man know that he definitely don't need a female to succeed. That's why I said that a woman don't need a man for that purpose either. But then he might not need, but he might want a woman for bedroom fulfillment. And at the same time, she might do the same thing, so she might not be connected to nobody, nor he might not be connected, but they know where to go when they want the fun.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes, there's actually a song that speaks about that, right?
Right, right. All and right. Everybody lives happily thereafter.
Right.
But just before you go, Corey, we're going to let you go now. But you see that, you see self-esteem? I am telling you, and I'm speaking from personal experience, self-esteem is so much growth in your life. Here, when you find yourself in a position where you know that you would have entered a certain circumstance or whatever at a very low, with a very low self-esteem, right? I had occasions to rise.
It's true. Self-esteem plays a major role in lots of different aspects of our life.
I entered an organization, a working environment, and Corey, when I went into that working environment, I will not name the environment, but when I went into that working environment, I had little or no self-esteem.
Oh.
Can I tell you? And when I walk away from that environment 8 years later, I can speak to a king or a queen.
Nice.
And I just say it all the time. I owe my life to that establishment.
So you wouldn't mention it then, if it's positive?
It is. Mm. But okay, so if you push me to CBC, Trust and Merchant Bank.
Right, well, name wrong with that. See, people understand that even from your work environment, you can gain self-esteem.
Every worker in that place gave me the opportunity to rise from one level to the next.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? And I walk away from there. I can stand up and talk to a king. I can stand up and talk to a queen. And I remember the very first Sunday I spent in that establishment when they said they were going to lunch. Corey, I'm not ashamed. When they said they were going to lunch, I asked the assistant manager, so where am I going to stay until they all return? You know what she said to me? When you joined Trust Company, and I told her, she said, the day you joined Trust Company, you became a part of Trust Company. And where Trust Company go, you go with it. And when we went to lunch, I drove all the way down to the food establishment saying, I know when I get there, they're going to put me on the table. When I sat next to the manager, I kept pumping my stomach. I couldn't believe that that's where I was sitting.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Right, correct.
And nobody ever made me feel less.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when the manager called me into the office and said, call me by name. You're going to have to sit here with Maureen because you're going to have to do cash with Maureen to go to lunch for the hour. I said, but I don't know anything about cash. She said, that's why I tell you, you will go sit with her because you will learn. Huh? Mm-hmm. And day to day, I did it at her lunchtime, and then I was doing it on my own. And I know it grew my self-esteem, Corey. It really, really did. So I know what level self-esteem can put you at. If you have a low one and get the opportunity to rise, it can really, really do something to the inner man. Corey, it was nice chatting with you.
And I thank you for sharing. Very powerful. And I thank you for sharing that. You know, that may be able to help a lot of people out there listening. So, wanted to read some more. There's too many WhatsAppers. I'm here with you. I'm pulling and generalizing a lot of what you're saying. Would not be able to read all these today, but I'm with you. I'm here with you. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yes, please.
Tell me something. What caused the flare about these squatters? Is it that the airport want the land or the government?
I think what caused the flare in the public domain is really the Nation newspaper who carried the article, because obviously they were there for a while. And there was really no major discussion on it until now.
I see. Because up to now, I can't determine the real problem there.
Oh, well, let me tell you.
I hear some people part, talking
it's not the whole of Rock Hall. Let me start there. It's a part of Rock Hall. Part of it was a quarry, which is now a dump. Filling the dump. The people build on the dump. That is a health issue. It said that the roofs are causing problems with the radar. It was causing problems with the radar. But then we had former director Aviation Beckles made the point in the newspaper and on the air with David on Monday. And is also the possibility, and we risk losing the designation as an international airport when the people come down. Those things are very serious things.
Yeah, but what yet not is, I can't see how the roof and that little quarter square mile area could affect the aircraft or radar. Why don't they look at the building next to the radar with the electronic equipment in it? Because you've got airplanes coming in from Houston. Gibbons, Paris, Land, Pine Bottom, they got their roofs. You got airplanes taking off from the same airport over Pennyhole, probably with a new development building just outside the fence where they take off.
So you're challenging what the director is saying. He's probably just saying it, and they're not getting seeing doubles. So let every part that one say, because neither us or we are in the radar room. I want to part down go to another aspect of it. What about the safety of the residents living there in terms of having no proper sewage system, proper water, etc., because of where it's located? Can we put that into the link and see that as a priority?
Well, you should only speak about that.
Okay, so we shouldn't speak about
the because you've got governors and Easton coming up Thornbury Hill.
Right, but the thing is, it has to do with angling and all those different things. Are you an aviation expert?
No, but I ain't got to be an expert.
But put yourself in Barbadian shoes. An aviation expert comes to the ear and explains the difficulty. And then you come as a caller, not an aviation expert, and say it probably shouldn't affect the radar because there are roofs on the other side. What would you expect the response to be?
What do you expect the response to be?
Yes, please.
Some people may only got things on paper.
I know Mitchie. He actually trained my uncle, who is an air traffic controller, when he was young. And it was before he was in primary school, before he was born, because he now come out from the air. So this guy is a guy that trains and knows what it is he's talking about.
He may talking on one side.
The point of the matter is, right?
There's a big building next to the radar.
Right. The point of the matter is, though, around airports around the world, especially international airports, there's always a buffer zone for all type of different things in terms of accidents, in terms of spillage, in terms of the radar, in terms of the equipment. So just let us give that point, the ventilation that it needs, but also consider all the other points.
I also could consider that.
The seriousness of it leads me to...
Some of the things that even blow me fall in my pocket.
What we don't understand is that I heard that it was there for 12 years, then I heard it was there from the 1990s, and it was given stop notice, and people were moved, and people come back. And they don't understand how they could let that go on for more than 10 years. I can't understand it let go on for more than 10 months. But these things, we are very reactive, because those are things I heard about from here and there, and I thought it was just a couple of houses here and there. No, it's over 300. I mean,
but the people with the brains all the time sat down and city place developing and get a big
money. That's really my issue. And how do we prevent these things going forward? No one will be held to account, so then no one has the motivation to not let it occur again. But I thank you. Good points. Brass Stacks, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes, please.
Do you remember the 6th of October, 1976?
No, please.
Does that date ring a bell?
Is this with the Sydney Burnett incident?
No.
Which incident? Which is this? Tell me. You tell me.
The opening of Parliament for the first time, and the crash of the Cubana off Barbados. Mm-hmm. At the same time that people were getting busy to go to Parliament for the opening, there was the Cubana down in the thing with all these operatives and whatever else, and who did what and who did it from Venezuela, and I can't even remember all the names of all these fancy people. But anyhow, the crash of the Cubana, you know, it is celebrated every year. Mm-hmm. That it is remembered. There's a monument in St. James to the memory of that. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine the upset, talking about defense, you could imagine the state of Mr. Adams at the opening of the parliament. And every, and the night, the even reception at his home, every minute there was a call from Dame Eugenia Charles, a call from this body, everybody inquiring about this, and that the first day, the opening of parliament, and you're going to tell people about all sorts of things about the Grenada thing in 1979. That's 1976 that this terrible thing happened, and you're going to think that Barbados and Mr. Adams and those should not be thinking about some sort of security and other things?
Hmm? Yes, please. There should be.
So why suddenly think about 90 and that the defense force and all the thing was only necessary because of the Grenada thing? That made it more serious and more urgent and, mm-hmm. and whatever and ever. Mm-hmm. But when you have a thing crashing down with all these people from all these various places bringing down a plane off thing. I remember I was coming from work to get ready to go to the opening of Parliament, and we and the radio and this thing turned on, and I was looking towards St. James, and I could see like this airplane going down, but I couldn't see any further. Right? But you remember the radio going, hopping, everybody reporting this, that, and the other, and I'm trying to get dressed to go to the opening parliament, and all these things, and everybody on nervous at the opening of parliament, and everybody looking around thinking. This party on the phone, the next party on the phone. People could not sit down in peace for the opening of the parliament. You could hardly listen to the speeches or anything else because it was a nerve-wracking thing.
Actually, I never thought about it that way, and I actually want to thank you for bringing that historical context, you know, giving us that snapshot of that particular time. So I thank you for that. This one says, Corey, the Barbados Water Authority workers are always under criticism from the Barbados public. All are not the same, which is why I want to take time out to highlight some good. As a resident of the Scotland District, and everyone know, we always have water problems as resident of the St. Joseph. I am happy to say I made one of the best decisions in years to take the opportunity offered. And I am one of the many persons who took their Barbados Water Authority personal tank program. I wish to express gratitude to Ruth Ramjit and Elon Drates, who I am in constant contact with and answers the calls. And display true meaning of excellent customer relationships at all times. I wish to encourage persons to grab the opportunity. It is affordable and an interest-free program, as we in the Scotland District are faced with daily water outages. And the image of the Barbados Water Authority is always portrayed as negative all the time. The process is a very quick process. And last but not least, I want to encourage the present government to continue the program. It is necessary. Thanks and have a wonderful day. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
All right, good afternoon.
It is me you're speaking to?
Yes, please. It is you I'm speaking
sir.
To.
Well, I am trying to bring some clarity to whether a man has need of a woman and a woman of a man. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. As it goes on further in verses 7, for a man indeed ought not to pray with his head covered, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power in her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither is the woman without the man in the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for bringing that clarity, sir. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on Down to Brass Stats.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Blessing and greetings in Kilimari Hamashiach, Empire, last day first, divine name. How are you doing?
I'm Irie.
Irie. You know, last time, you know, we was there speaking upon the process of emancipation and listening today. Mm-hmm. I've heard things such as the squatters, self-determination, the issue of men, and it all comes back to the discussion that we had before. It comes back to the sovereignty of man being restored. Now, you know, as a displaced people, you know you have lost a lot, and your image and everything, your self-esteem has been brought low. So basically, you're now trying to rebuild. Mm-hmm. Now, I must sympathize in a sense with the people that are being displaced up in Rock Hall, because listening to Mr. Indaria speaking, he spoke in terms that there were people that basically were waiting upon the system to help elevate them, their conditions. And they took matters in their own hand and sought refuge in places such as that. But we cannot expect a political situation for a solution that needs to be socially addressed. And because, remember, you have children, you have elderly, you have people that are going to be displaced, and you cannot actually just say, man, we bulldoze the people place and just left them out, you know, in the air. So you have to have some kind of humanity, because although they had law, you have law, law must be respected, but law must also have a humanity to it, or not, it's basically null and void. And so, sir, I wanted to draw a perspective in terms of we will speak about emancipation to independence and the concept of crop over. Where does it lie in the midst of that? Now, would you say that crop over represented the displaced Africans, or did it mostly represented the people that run their plantation?
What do you think?
The culture of it.
What do you think?
Well, let us analyze it if you have the time. If you look at, you gave my forefathers pardon in South, something they didn't use when it was in Africa. You forced them to plant sugar cane, which was in their cash crop. And so at the end of the crop was over, it meant that who owned the plantation was counting the dividends and celebrating. So basically what you do, you come and give out some little free rum. You abuse the girls because everybody been drunk and they have a nice time, and then everybody happy and gay. And then basically what's going to happen, you're going to have a lot of children after the crop over. And basically what is going to feed into the plantation system again. So I'm saying that crop over does not elevate the emancipation period. And I think that when Mr. Ellis spoke the other day, he said that a gentleman spoke and asked him if he think that emancipation should have a national holiday. And he's saying he didn't agree with it. But I must say that if emancipation was for us as a people, and you're telling me not to celebrate it, not to emphasize upon it, that even is a national holiday, and you're giving me a crop over to celebrate the Ram Festival, the colonial festival, where that we drink, we drank, we dance, and we portray ourselves to facilitate the enjoyment of the slave master. It feeds back into what we'll call a slave mentality. So, and I must also say that, imagine emancipation is celebrated when school ends. And so I'm saying that there must be a concerted effort on the part of those in power to put perspective to emancipation that the people can have, especially the youth, who you can see they have an identity crisis, because the older people have an identity crisis because obviously they're looking through European spectacles, not even African spectacles. They're looking through European spectacles in terms of how they pray, how they call the Lord's name, how they worship. The whole behavior is colonial viewpoint. So I'm saying emancipation is obviously a process of redevelopment, redefining, reclaiming. And I must say to Mr. Indaria that agrarian reform must be put on the tables, because enough of this crown land needs to be reformed into the lands of the people who have been displaced and needs to be empowered. Now, agrarian reform is obviously using the agricultural module to empower the farmers and the people. Now, if you're forcing persons before upon your plantation to plant sugar cane, cotton, and tobacco to impose your plantation system, your plantocracy development, such as in England, I'm saying the reform to emancipation to independence must mean agrarian reform that empowers the people to cash crops such as hemp, marijuana, such things as those that will put basically the model of development in terms of health, materials such as hemp, which will create basically ethanol, which you can use as fuel, material that will be used to make clothes, fibers and fabrics, and also at the end of the day, you can use it in terms of food and basically putting back into the earth and also reducing the high level of
nutrients in the soil.
Yes, not only that I'm talking about in terms of in the carbon emissions.
Carbon,
which is
right.
Used in terms of the vehicles.
No problem.
So I'm looking at the multifaceted.
Sir, you hear music in the background? That's not for us to dance to, you know. That's to tell us it's time to go. So we can stick a pin right there. This one says, really, we don't need men until a lizard or a rat is loose in the house. We need each other to become the best persons we can be. I need a man in my life, even if I can support myself. God bless the creature called man. Life would be boring without you guys. And I wanted to end on that point. I want to thank Dennis Johnson, my producer and technical operator. I want to thank all who made the program what it has been. I've been your host and moderator, Corey Lane. And you know the two words I have left for you. Lane out.